KXRW Vancouver 99 FM. Guys, welcome to Rex's World. I am Rex. Welcome to my world. We finally have our co-host in studio, guys. His big face has been all over our posters every single time, but you have yet to hear his voice. Introducing our resident independent wrestling champion, our resident barber, our resident frontman for his band that is escaping my head. He can introduce it when he gets his chance, but Brian Brooks is in the building. Welcome, co-host.
Thank you, Caleb. Yes, it is true. I do sing in a hardcore band called Suffer. And yes, it is also true that I am the reigning, defending Roundtable Pro Wrestling World's Heavyweight Independent Champion.
It's got to include that independent.
Yes, that is correct. And include worlds, because I will defend it anytime, any place. Right. So on. if you wanna step into the ring with me, you know where to find me. And yes, my face has been, my large face has been on a tiny speck on the program flyer, but I'm very excited to be here. I'm glad that I made it this time. And we're looking forward to doing this thing and having some sweet guests.
So. Oh, yeah. And mind you, even though the name is Suffer, you will not suffer on this show, because we've got an amazing guest for you guys. He is the creator and the host of Martini Tonight, and honestly, probably one of the sexiest and funniest musical comics in Portland and probably the surrounding area, I'm willing to bet. Guys, welcome comic Brett Sussin to us.
All right.
Hello.
Glad you're here, man.
See, there it is again, dude. You call him sexy and he just does it. It's the mustache. I feel like the mustache is like, that's where the power is.
You should see me without it.
I don't think that I want to.
When I take the mustache off, like I'll have a girlfriend and I'll shave the mustache off.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, oh no.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
who I'm dating?
Yeah,
I'm
like, yeah, 100%.
You're dating a simian.
Yeah, dude.
I'm not even sure what a simian
is. So is mustache Brett single Brett? Is that what we're hearing? Or?
Oh, are you asking if I'm single?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The lady's got to know, dude.
Hang on. I'm never truly single. I mean, there's always some in the rotation. But, sure. You know, they got the ones that really win my heart. And single, yes, I am.
Okay.
I am.
Yeah. You heard it here.
Oh, yeah. You're going to have to start doubling the price of the front rows of your shows and start calling it the Splash Zone.
Oh yeah, totally. Because it's so much wetness. Can I say that? What kind of radio are we on?
I think we're good. I think we'll be okay.
Okay. Right.
Yeah,
we can beep that.
I was on the drive over here contemplating whether or not to ask him how much swearing is allowed, if not swearing. So
yeah.
I just, you know.
So I said a-hole last show and it ended up getting beeped. So I think
really?
Okay.
Yeah, so I think we got
juice will get beeped. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, dude. It'll be nice.
But you wanna sit in the front row of Brett's shows if you wanna get nice and wet.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh my god, can I say that I sat front row at a comedy show recently for the first time in my life?
Oh, really?
And it was the most fun experience I've ever had, but also like kind of like it's intimidating.
It's intimidating.
Yeah, for sure.
Like in the sense that what intimidates you about it?
Because I think for me, it was like this like almost like this like palpable like anxiety of like, are they going to like you know try to like poke and prod at me or like
right.
if they're gonna do crowd work or
right ask about your face tattoos?
Yeah, god damn it!
That was the first thing I thought. I was like, a Roman. I didn't know we had a fucking Roman in the building. You got the
see. This is the thing. I recently went to Helium, to see my good friend Ian Finance. And their show was fantastic, but it was really funny because the two openers, both, they had something to say about, my face full of tattoos. One of the guys said,
Brent, was Brent there?
Yeah, Brent. He was great.
Of course he
was. Yeah, he was great. And he also said the guy in the front row with the face tattoos and, his hot girlfriend with big
Got a compliment.
Yeah, dude. And we had a couple friends who were there.
Did that help you feel better for a minute?
It did. It did. It felt like the pressure was taken off of me.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, it just was, yeah, if you've never sat front row at a comedy show, you absolutely should, because it's so fun. And I think it's just great.
And what a place to be, to have to sit front row too, because not a lot of places are like Helium and have the front row as close to the stage as they do.
Oh my God. Yes.
You're a table's length away from the comic.
Dude, yeah.
You can practically smell them.
Sitting on, like, my foot was, like, on the edge of, like, the stage, like, the entire time.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it was great. But, yeah, all, as soon as, like, you know, you realize it's, like, kind of all in good fun and, like, you know, everybody's there to, like, have a good time and have a good laugh, like, all of that kind of, like, anxiety of, like, the, if I'm going to get, like, called on or whatever, like, goes away. And then everybody's just, like, having a good time.
Oh, yeah.
You know
if
what
it's
mean?
Good.
If it's good, yeah. It's good. Yeah, that's true.
It's an open realm. nothing's guaranteed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because you could be front row and watching a comic kill it, or you could be sitting front row and the comic starts to strip for some reason. Yeah. I've seen that happen. I've seen comics, like, start banging the mic every time they do a joke and they're, like, trying to get a reaction. They hit the mic on the wall. That was awful. Yeah, that was... Yeah.
I've seen some beautiful things.
what would be your top?
Can you describe the general realm of your shows? Is there stripping and mic banging against the wall?
So
a martini.
It's interesting you ask, actually, because it's March, and so we just had St. Patrick's Day, and 3 years ago, we started our Irish Heritage Competition.
Oh.
Which is trying to figure out who in the crowd is the most Mick. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Yeah, I don't know if that's racist to say. I'm sorry.
I
don't know. Our producer, what's your background? But
John was laughing pretty hard. I think we might.
I mean, his name's Jono, so I think, you know.
Yeah. So we
there's something there.
We started the competition, and in the competition, we got two real Charlies up there. You know what I mean? Again, not sure if that's racist to say, but. we got them up there, and when they started drinking, and you know, he who drinks the most beer be the most Irish.
Sure.
So this was the competition. And then the band started playing Marvin Gaye's song about Let's Get It On.
Yeah.
Because I was like, play an Irish tune for these boys.
And you played the least Irish thing you could think of.
Yeah, I played Motown.
Oh, yeah.
Which was good. You know, it was good for comedy. But the other gentleman started taking their clothes off because it just, you know, it just was apropos to the moment. And so I, as the host, I was like, well, you know, I got to take this a little bit further. And so that was the first time I've ever actually publicly exposed myself. I got fully naked.
Oh,
and wow. I had a little green bandana over my weenie.
Yes.
And I flashed the crowd. And they went, oh! And I was like, yeah, that's great. And I did it one more time, and they were like, oh. And I was like, oh, okay, right.
Yeah, kind of wore off.
And it was
first time was fine. Second time, offensive.
Yeah, it was like, oh, now this is for you. and nobody wants that. And it was interesting because after the show, the reaction was like generally positive, of course, but it was interesting to see people like thinking I was having like a bipolar episode or something. You know what I mean? They were like, how are you?
Yeah.
You know, rather than like, that was amazing, man. They were just like, great show. How are you?
Yeah, dude. Are you like, are you doing okay, man?
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't realize this, but you do need to actually, in performance, and it was a good lesson to learn, if there is nudity, it's fine, but you do have to actually say that there's going to be nudity before the show.
Warn them.
Yeah, because it's a consent issue. Like not everybody wants to see a dick. Like,
true.
Yeah.
But there's women in the crowd, and
yes,
they're not all like, oh my God, stick it in me. You know, they're like, that has hurt me before, and that I don't want to fucking see.
Yeah, right, and a man doing this has
makes
me
sick. Yes. Yeah. And it's like, oh, like, you know what I mean? Like, I've only ever had fun with mine. And you know, it's never caused me any harm, and so I'm like, this must be fun for the world, and so I exposed myself.
Yeah,
and,
no harm, no foul, right?
Yeah.
Well,
you should have dressed it up. You should put a beard on it or something, like made it look like a leprechaun.
You're absolutely right. The one thing I was missing was like a Poirot mustache.
Yes. See, the mustache works for you. Maybe it would have worked.
Like one of those. What are the cheap disguises that you would get from like the toy counter at like an arcade?
Yeah.
The glasses with the mustache?
The glasses with like the big plastic nose
and the mustache.
The Ian Finn dance.
I stole that joke. That's David I forget the guy's name from Kill Tony, but yeah. Anyways, that's gone around.
That's so funny. Ian, if you ever listen to this, I love you so much.
Oh God. So you asked about Martina tonight. What I love about it too is in between, you always get a song from Brett in between them. You almost always get a song.
Oh, that's great.
And he's normally on the piano and he's tickling the ivories, just like, even though it's a plastic keyboard, but tickling the ivories.
Yeah, tickling the plastic.
So, yeah. I'm jealous of the keyboard most of the time.
Damn, Caleb, I didn't know you felt that way. Take me to wrestle. Take me on the. How about this? I'll be the road to WrestleMania.
Yes, please.
Drag your.
I want to be on. But that could be the thing. Is you could be having your show and not tell anybody, and Caleb just comes in and hits you with a chair.
Honestly, I wasn't. I'm a Jew. I wasn't made for WrestleMania.
But what I was wondering is
if that makes sense.
Is if you stripped down and then got on the keyboard and started playing a song as well? Like was that the? Because that's usually the in between, you know, your acts and stuff. You're usually doing that. So did you totally do that and then have to walk over to the keyboard and start playing a song?
So the show you saw. I normally have they're amazing guys, the Franco brothers. They're my house band.
Yeah.
And they were out of town.
Oh.
So I was just like, I'm the band tonight, you know.
Okay.
I love playing piano, and so I set it up that night.
Right.
So that was the vibe that night. Yeah. But okay. No, I didn't have. I actually just went backstage. I brought Bo Johnson out, who's an awesome comic, and he was like, okay, I got to talk about this now. Because it was a lot of live news.
That's great.
Have you ever been put on stage after something wild like that happened and you have to like...
I'm always, no, it's me.
It's usually you.
No, they got to go on. After me. Yeah. Well,
like, you're like, watch this.
Yeah, you're like, follow that, check.
Yeah, that's one of those moments.
So now actually... Yes. I'm sorry. That was sort of my sexy answer. But the truth is, I did a show in LA at the Elysian Theater. It's Ron Lynch's show. Ron Lynch is this amazing comedian who's kind of like he's a legendary comedian. He actually brought Louis C.K. like back out into comedy early in his career, before he had a career. So Ron Lynch is this incredible guy. And he's like a wizard comic. He like has crazy glasses. He looks like Einstein, kind of.
Okay, yeah.
And he does incredible alt comedy and stuff. And he does this show at the Elysian called Midnight. I think that's it. And one of the things about it's interesting about LA comedy is that people don't get a lot of chances in LA. Like you're either like a fucking star and you get to go on the comedy store like all the time, or you just don't. You just are at the open mic level for the rest of your life.
Oh,
in Portland, we actually have an incredible amount of shows, and you can work, and you can get 10 minutes and 20 minutes and 30 minutes. And it's like, LA was always, like, when I went down there, it was just like, everyone was like, it's so amazing, we're on this, you know, it was like the first show they'd ever been on.
Yeah, sure.
Which is totally understandable. And maybe I'm wrong about that, too. Maybe that's a misperception, but that was my perception. And, I was on Ron's show, and the guy who went on before me, he was really, really nervous, and it was like his first time performing, and I was like, what are you doing, man? And he was like, I'm gonna destroy this doll I made of Elon Musk. And I was like, it's interesting. Like, is this a comedy act? You know, like
intentional?
Yeah.
Are you okay?
Yeah. Are you okay?
Right. You're like scrolling through the news to see if something came up.
Yeah. What the fuck? So this guy then proceeds to cover his body in red body paint, and he makes himself like a full devil.
Oh no!
And then he reveals his Elon Musk doll, and it's like a full size doll. And so his whole act was he just ran out there and tore this thing limb from limb and scattered the shit all over the stage. Oh my and God. Everyone just, there wasn't a laugh. It wasn't about laughing.
Yeah.
It was like this guy was doing some kind of therapeutic exercise. And then I was to go on after him doing my Bob Ross routine where I do a painting of someone as Bob Ross. And so I came out and there was foam everywhere and I was like, hey, you know, it was like six people there. I was like, what?
Oh, no.
What do we do? Like, what? Like, we could stop. It's one of the coolest things I've learned in Buddhism. You know what I mean? You could stop.
You could just stop.
You
yeah.
could just stop.
Yeah.
You just, whatever it is you're doing.
Did you end up painting him painted as the devil as Bob Ross?
That would have been a great idea.
I was, yeah.
Honestly, that
like,
would have been cool.
Like, yeah. what is, there's that, like, very famous, like, historic painting of, like the mother, like, eating the baby, and it's, like, turned, like,
oh,
this.
Saturn?
Is that Saturn? Yeah.
Saturn eating his children.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, God.
By, like, Goya?
Yeah, it's.
Oh, I'm fucking
totally
hot.
Pulled
God,
that
damn.
Out.
All right, brainiac. Oh, listen, yeah.
Come on.
Okay, dude.
Yeah. I thought you had that shit on your face.
Whatever, dude.
Yeah, I thought you were from that
sorry.
Time.
I didn't mean to insult
It should be like him as Saturn ripping apart the Elon Musk doll. Oh,
That's the reference to that painting is very apt. That was how it felt. You know how you feel when you see that painting?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
That was it. So you nailed it.
I'm sure that if I was one of the six people sitting there, I would have felt like that. But I'm like, what? Are we the right show?
Yeah. What are we?
Yeah. This is
here?
Supposed to be fun, right? I don't like.
Isn't Bob Ross follows?
Yeah, I don't have my will together. Like I'm not ready for whatever is happening. Jesus.
Yeah. I didn't either. And I've been at a number of comedy shows where I didn't have my will together to witness it. You know? So I understand what you mean by that.
Yeah. I think that's one of that's a comedy. Fail safe at this point, right? You just have to have your will in order to be a comic.
Yeah, you know, it's been interesting, man. Like this last couple months, that's an interesting thing to say because, like, in some ways, like you get that in order over time, and it accumulates.
Yeah,
and then there's like a moment where you're trying to will everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and you do that for like a long time, like for a couple of years, where you're like, all right, like we got this one. This is going to be the one.
Yeah.
And then we're going to fucking get there. Yeah. And once we get there, they're going to love me, you know? And but that's an accumulation of the right karma.
Yeah.
You definitely want to be doing that, right? And I'm sure it's like this in music too, right? It took you a long time to be able to be the lead singer.
Yeah. I never, it's funny because, I think we'll pick this up after.
Well, that's actually the thing. We gotta take something from you and learn from Buddha, and we do have to stop for a minute. We just gotta stop. Yeah, for a commercial break. KXRW Vancouver. We're Rex's World. We'll be right back.
KXRW programming like this is made possible with the support of the Columbian. I'm Will Campbell, and since 1920, my family has owned and operated the Columbian and ensured its award-winning news coverage. For the most thorough daily coverage of local news, national news, and local sports, both in print and online, and for subscription information, visit Columbian.com. That's Columbian.com.
KXRW programming is made possible by partners like Buckley & Associates, attorneys at law, helping injured victims seek the justice they deserve for over 40 years. Licensed in Washington State, our diverse team speaks over 7 languages, making your rights more accessible and easier to understand. Learn more at buckleylaw.net. Buckley & Associates, we speak your language.
우리는 여러분의 언어를 구사합니다.
我们说你的语言.
Nosotros hablamos tu idioma.
중 tôi nói ngôn ngữ của bạn.
KXRW programming like this is made possible with the support of the Columbian. I'm Will Campbell, and since 1920, my family has owned and operated the Columbian and ensured its award-winning news coverage. For the most thorough daily coverage of local news, national news, and local sports, both in print and online, and for subscription information, visit Columbian.com. That's Columbian.com.
If you're looking for pizza in East Vancouver, consider visiting Giuliano's Pizzeria in the Cascade Park Fisher's Landing neighborhood. For 37 years, Giuliano's has been a choice for Clark County residents. Giuliano's has a casual classic rock atmosphere, open 7 days a week, and they provide table service allowing you to relax and enjoy your meal with family and friends. If you have a large crowd to feed, Giuliano's can deliver six or more extra large pizzas to your office or event. More information can be found at giulianospizza.com.
KXRW Vancouver 99.9 FM. Welcome back to Rex's World. I am Caleb Rex Roush. This is Brian Brooks.
Yo.
And we're here with Breath Sisson.
Heyo.
What an
Brian and Caleb, let's go, guys.
Yeah.
We got a completely different Brett. The first half was sexy. Now this guy's high energy.
Good. I'm so much happier now.
I should have never gotten that coconut water. It was a trick.
Yeah
it's like feeding a gremlin after midnight. That's what it is.
The coconut.
Now he turns into like a sociopath.
Oh,
it's fine.
We've been
talking about your show, but for those people who don't know, when and where can we catch your shows?
Yeah, I do Third Fridays at the Funhouse Lounge.
Okay.
And it's a beautiful show. It's a very sexual show.
It is indeed.
It's very charged and poignant and funny.
I think nothing turns me on more than when Dylan Jones and James Hartenfeld get on stage in their
jazz dad outfits.
Yeah, I was gonna say Goodwill suits.
they're all
pieced together.
Sure. you've got like a pinstriped navy top with like brown pants, and you're like, hey man.
Like 70s broadcast, like sports broadcaster, the checkered.
Oh yeah. Oh, even better.
Yes, they look good. They look good.
Is it like very like Don Cherry, like type of like suits or like?
Well, the show is actually suit themed.
Oh
yes.
Yeah.
I would mention that. I love that.
Yeah. So everyone is invited to dress well.
Yeah. That is great.
And there's a lot of stand-up. I do stand-up at the beginning and a sketch later in the show, and there's a house band, and sometimes we have different kinds of guests on, doing stand-up. Oh, yeah.
Second Friday?
Third Friday.
Third Friday.
Yeah. So we got one tomorrow. This will air after it, but our next one will be April 17th.
Nice. Yeah. What time?
10 p.m.
Oh, good.
And then you can catch the midnight mic after, usually. Right?
Yeah, and kill yourself.
I was asleep face down on top of the covers mid conversation last night at 9:45.
I understand that. How old are you?
34.
Yeah, I'm 35. I'm getting there, man. Yeah. I don't know when it happened, but it happened
to me about 6 years ago when my daughter was born.
Oh yeah. That'll do it.
It's like those realizations you're getting old. Because like for me, it was I'll wake up to my alarm, but my lamp will still be on, and the TV show I was clearly watching when I dozed off is still on.
Yeah,
nothing's cleaned off. Oh yeah, nothing. That's usually
no. And I usually like I've gotten pretty good about like getting like a bedtime routine these days, and that sometimes just goes out the window. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. Maybe it is. I'm just getting old and forgetful. you know?
Well, 10 o'clock just feels like midnight now a lot of the time for me.
Yeah, 10 o'clock? I'm like, oh, that's a good time to go to sleep. Yeah, but then it's weird because I'm getting up at 7 a.m. and I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I hate this
world. Oh, yeah. Dude, my daughter was... 5:30 the other day.
Yeah.
And like,
how old's your daughter?
She's 6.
Okay.
5:30 the other day and like ripping and ready to go. And I was like,
wild.
Get out of here. Yeah. Leave right now.
No, they don't sleep 8 hours, right? They sleep like 6 hours.
No, that's the thing, is she sleeps so goddamn much.
So dude, like she'll sleep 10 hours or
something? Oh yeah.
I wish
she'll fall asleep at 7.
No, maybe not 10 hours, but she'll do like pretty typically if she's had like a pretty big day, she'll go like 9 p.m. to like 7 a.m.
Wow.
Like straight through the night.
That's nice.
Yeah, it's so great. I mean, it's awesome.
Crazy.
and for the listeners outside of Oregon and Washington, We just got out of like one of our darkest winters. It felt like it. Like we were. Yes. It was to a point where you would go to bed and it was dark, and you would wake up and it was dark. Sometimes it was even dark.
100%.
And so to have that energy greet you when it's still dark outside, and you're dragging yourself out of bed, and your daughter's just like, "Where's breakfast?"
Yeah, dude. she wanted to play Blue's Clues at 5:45, and I was like, I don't even know what Blue's like Clues is at 5:45. Yeah, totally.
Like you had to put the pause on the clues or like watch.
Yeah, no, she was in her room listening to songs from Blue's Clues on her Google, and she had her stuffed animal in the mailbox, and they were just light on, like volume 12. Just as loud as
blasting,
you could be. Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Ready for the information.
The hallway.
Get it in. Get the Blue's Clues in my eyes.
Yeah, that's what it felt like, dude. Oh, my God. I love like in I felt like I was like being like a Clockwork Orange to Blue's Clues.
I love that starting off talking about Dylan Jones and James Hartenfeld has led to talking about Brian's daughter.
Brian's daughter.
Well, you know.
Those are two connections.
I don't know, man.
But to like if watching Martini and seeing those two come out, it's like seeing younger versions of like Stettler and Waldorf from Muppets.
Oh, yes.
But like you could see their feet. they're just permanently put in a balcony somewhere. Yeah, yeah. Yet.
Although
that would be a funny thing is if their segments happened somewhere randomly in like what looked like a balcony in Funhouse. I know that's impossible.
Oh, we'd love to have a balcony in the Funhouse.
Or to set up one of those booths in the back to make it look like they're just like stuck back there.
you guys move your show over once to Dante's, and they could be like on one of those like
the racks,
the catwalk or whatever.
Yeah, Dante's is interesting. We did the roast shows at Dante's earlier this year, which was really fun. It's good, but downtown scene is just kind of dead a little bit. It's hard to get people into Dante's. People don't really like love going for other things other than metal shows.
Yeah. Ooh.
People love going there for a metal show, but a comedy show at Dante's, although it is technically a very historic venue for comedy because Doug Stanhope recorded his special Beer Hall Putsch there. So it's like
interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. He recorded a special there. So it's definitely like a fucking sick place for comedy. But
it's crazy.
You definitely need like 200 people to be in there. And
sure.
Yeah, you know, sometimes that's possible.
What's your dynamic for selling tickets? Like what's your like how do you approach selling tickets?
Yeah, totally. Just try to make cool advertisements.
Yeah.
We've done pretty well. Like I like to make just like psychedelic weird like I'm in a suit and I'm talking about the comics and describing the show. I just try to be really face forward with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just be like, here I am. Like this is what we're doing, and be funny. And then that always works because like if I post a funny video that is an advertisement, it's just like you've already gotten a reward. Right. You're like, oh great. Yeah, ooh, it is funny, you know, because you kind of tell when you see an advertisement of someone who's not funny. And you're like, oh, okay, this is a bad restaurant, you know, like the food. The food doesn't look good on the sign.
No,
you know, but if you're funny in the advertisement, people are like, oh, you're actually funny, and you're like, yeah, it's fine. Come on, and then they come, and then you show them your dick, and then
they leave wondering if you wear bandanas as underwear, like as a regular thing.
Yeah, yeah, they were wondering all kinds of things.
Yeah, if that's a daily occurrence for you,
Tarzaning it.
Yeah, so
Tarzaning. Oh, that's good. I like that.
I like Tarzaning it.
Yeah,
it is good.
It is.
Yeah,
I come.
That's a technique.
I come up with those sometimes. Like, I live with my grandfather, and he refuses to wear pants when he sleeps, and we'll both make the mistake of coming out of our rooms at the same time in the middle of the night. And I'm like, oh my God, put it away, Pooh Bear. And because all
you
he's
call
got,
Pooh Bear?
Yeah, because all he's got is his shirt on.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you live in a shoe?
I have so many questions now.
That's great, man.
About what I've seen?
Yeah.
Because it's not great. It's not.
I mean, before the show, we were talking about the bewitchment show that goes on here. And like, does that play a part? Were you like self-promoing the witch show? Is that your other?
No.
Absolutely. Is that your other radio show that you do in this space?
I do not possess the capacity to be a witch. Does anything look magical to me when you look at me?
No. Yeah. Ever since you got rid of your mustache, no.
Oh yeah, I got that a lot. The kids at the high school hated that I shaved. They're like, "You look like a child." They said
yeah,
that.
You look like one of us.
yeah. No, it's 100%.
I think you look good.
Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate it. And I was like, how do I look like you? I've got all this gray hair running through the back of my head and stuff. There's no way I could be a child. And they're like, no, you've got the babiest of faces.
Yeah, you shave your mustache and it's very 21 Jump Street.
Ooh. Which one?
Well, the remakes. Sorry, dude. He just blends in, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
He just
blends disappears.
In. Yeah, it's totally fine. He's like, "What's up, my fellow youths?"
Yeah.
They're like, "This guy's probably a cop."
So you work at a high school, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay, and you teach football there?
I coach football. I'm a paraeducator there, so I'm like an assistant teacher type of. I've got multiple classes that I go through the day, and I've got specific kids that I work with and stuff like that as well.
Crazy. It's like a public school, right?
Yeah.
It's out here in Vancouver.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, it's hard to. I have to like grocery shop away from where I work. Just so I don't run into the kids and their parents and things like that.
Yeah, I got you.
Last thing you want is to see you at your worst at Winco.
Yeah, I get that.
You know, I've had interactions and I'm like super excited to see the kids, see my athlete and stuff like that, and we're talking, and all I can see over their shoulder is just like the parent peering into and looking into what I'm buying, looking into my cart,
like judging
me. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I mean, listen, I feel like if you are at Winco, you're already halfway there.
Oh, yeah, I'm not buying vegetables, that's for sure.
No. Yeah. I'm buying like a trough like an animal, you know, like a barn animal, like a pig or a donkey.
Yeah. You know? Food that was made in their deli like earlier in the day that they just repackaged and put out there because they have to do something with it. I'm usually coming in and grabbing it.
Yeah. What is Winco short for? Window company?
I don't know. When
Winnie the cooperative.
Winnie the cooperative. I like that. Yeah. It couldn't be Win Company. And having to mix them all up and to find the right word.
Oh, yeah. That would have been insane. That would have been crazy.
Like, yeah.
Do you think they took like those alphabet magnets and just sat there in front of a fridge or something?
Oh,
right. And they're like, oh, shit,
up
look
until
at this.
They saw something. That's what I would.
Because then, you know that the list of the names before Winco was like Inico, Nico Win.
Yeah, they sat
something.
For a while.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, that was one of those things that like it was a meeting that could have been an email type of deal.
Oh, man. Talk about all the emails I've had that could have been meetings.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
Just not enough information.
Yeah, I'm like, we could talk about this in person. Yeah, they're like, I don't want to.
I don't
want to
do that.
Yeah. I want to email you.
it's like when those people that choose to fire people over email. Getting terminated over email is the worst.
Yeah. Yeah, I've never been terminated, but I have.
I kind of brought down. I feel like I brought it down by bringing it up.
I've been terminated. Go ahead.
Yeah, dude. I've been hella fired.
Yeah.
I think we all have.
Here. It's fine. Who cares?
Yeah. If you haven't been fired, I think I'm concerned because you're probably still working at that job.
Yeah, dude.
Right.
Those McDonald's employees that have been there since they were kids, since they were teens.
I mean, I don't know. You ever seen the evolution of some of those people when they like post their name tags online? And it's like, you know, like dishwasher and then like, you know, fry cook and then like cashier and then like assistant manager and then like whatever
burger massager
and it's like all the way up and it's like that's like SpongeBob not getting employee of the month or getting promoted
yeah
it's not it's like SpongeBob not getting promoted
he was so happy being fry cook though
what
He was very content.
He wanted to be manager, and that never happened.
Squidward was manager?
Squidward was manager. Yeah, there was a whole movie about it.
How could you not make Squidward manager, though?
That's true.
You got to have the serious guy. Do you want to have HR meetings with SpongeBob?
No, God, no. That sounds like my nightmare.
SpongeBob will sing you a song about how you're not supposed to touch your coworkers.
Touch your employees. That's a different kind of meeting that I don't know if SpongeBob's.
It's like in the tune of the fun song. Like,
yeah.
Oh man, yeah. Getting touched by your manager.
And your manager is Squidward.
Yeah, he's
crazy.
SpongeBob's the new manager, having to come in and be like, "So you got touched by our old manager?" Oh, and no. He's like playing his guitar or something. I don't know. That would be awful. That would not be a good way to start something.
Now that's what I don't call entertainment.
Yeah, as a performer, no thank you.
Have you ever been mid song and been like, oh, this thing's not working? This song's not working.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Did you change the song up or did you just say screw it, I'm finishing?
Depends on the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, no. The right thing to do is to go harder, though.
Yeah. I honestly agree.
Should never give up.
No, so, yeah. God, no. It is to keep going.
Yeah, you just go. No, I bet I could find this.
It's actually an old wrestling trick, actually, too. Because if you're supposed to be a good guy and nobody likes anything you're doing, and you're just getting all these boos. All right, I'm poking you in the eye, bro. Yeah.
You know, get everybody in the audience to be behind the good guy, kind of like a David and Goliath kind of thing.
It's so intricate and different, and we can get back to that at any point, but I'm going to have to be the bad guy here and go to commercial break. Guys, we're here at KXRW Vancouver. This is Rex's World. Brian Brooks, Brett Sussin, we will be right back.
KXRW programming like this is made possible with the support of The Columbian. I'm Will Campbell, and since 1920, my family has owned and operated The Columbian and ensured its award-winning news coverage. For the most thorough daily coverage of local news, national news, and local sports, both in print and online, and for subscription information, visit Columbian.com. That's Columbian.com.
KXRW programming is made possible by partners like Buckley & Associates, attorneys at law, helping injured victims seek the justice they deserve for over 40 years. Licensed in Washington State, our diverse team speaks over 7 languages, making your rights more accessible and easier to understand. Learn more at buckleylaw.net. Buckley & Associates, we speak your language.
우리는 여러분의 언어를 구사합니다.
我们说你的语言.
Nosotros hablamos tu idioma.
중도의 nói ngôn ngữ của bạn.
KXRW programming like this is made possible with the support of The Columbian. I'm Will Campbell, and since 1920, my family has owned and operated The Columbian and ensured its award-winning news coverage. For the most thorough daily coverage of local news, national news, and local sports, both in print and online, and for subscription information, visit Columbian.com. That's Columbian.com.
If you're looking for pizza in East Vancouver, consider visiting Giuliano's Pizzeria in the Cascade Park Fisher's Landing neighborhood. For 37 years, Giuliano's has been a choice for Clark County residents. Giuliano's has a casual classic rock atmosphere, open 7 days a week, and they provide table service allowing you to relax and enjoy your meal with family and friends. If you have a large crowd to feed, Giuliano's can deliver 6 or more extra large pizzas to your office or event. More information can be found at giulianospizza.com.
KXRW Vancouver 99.9. Welcome back to Rex's World. I am Rex. We're here with Brian Brooks.
Oh, yeah.
And we're here with our guest, Brett Sussin.
Hello, hello.
Brett, are you a wrestling fan?
No.
No? Did it ever intrigue you? That's actually,
all right, that's it. That's a show.
That's usually the answer we get. But there was sometimes it, like, it catches their eye when they're kids and stuff.
I know about wrestling. Right. I mean, I know about how Hulk Hogan went to Japan and they called him Ichiro. Or whatever. I know a bit of the lore. But I mean, I have an appreciation for wrestling, like I have an appreciation for anything in life.
Yeah, you're how old are you?
35.
35. So we're all around the same age.
Yeah.
Never got quite into it.
Okay, yeah, because we all grew up in that height of like The Rock and stuff like that before he became a movie star. So I was
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah. And so, you know, there's a group that got into it and was only into it for a little bit. There was a group that got into it and never stopped liking it.
Sure.
And there was a group that just never saw the appeal. And I'm sure that was.
Were you doing like other like activities that took you away from wrestling or like or well?
Yeah.
What I mean by that is honestly really.
You know, if you were like playing sports and having friends.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That take you away from wrestling.
Like those things too.
At like what age are you talking?
I mean,
middle
I don't
school
know.
To high school. That high school. That like pop culture. The age where pop culture is like really important type of thing.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I played World of Warcraft.
Okay.
I got into that. Yeah.
Yeah, different flavors. They would call it for sure.
Yeah. I liked that shit.
Were you a group of friends all brought your systems and system linked and played games and stuff like that?
Yeah, yeah.
I did
video games. Yeah, yeah. Loved really doing that. Playing video games growing up and. That and like, you know, just fucking around real hard.
That's a good one too. Yeah.
Fucking around with your friends, fantasy make believe, but wrestling missed you guys.
Those two things usually follow wrestling. Yeah.
That is insane to me.
Yeah, interesting.
That's interesting.
Well, the thing about wrestling was that it wasn't really like present in the culture I was in Denver.
Okay.
Like, oh,
makes
sure.
Sense.
Okay.
Makes sense.
It's more prevalent up here and in, I would say, more rural places probably.
Yeah.
Like, I grew up in like strip mall Denver kind of. I mean, I'm sure there's fucking wrestling there too.
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah, there's wrestling fans everywhere. But it never, like, I don't even ever think I thought about it once.
Sure.
Outside of like, oh, that guy's like yelling and naked. And like,
yeah, dude.
Ooh, you know, like,
yeah, sure, 100%. Yeah,
especially in the 90s, they actually did get naked a couple of times.
Oh, God, yeah.
Well, and the other thing is, me and my friends or the people I was around, no one I knew got over the hump of understanding that it's not about that. It's like wrestling. Like, it's not, it's like it's theater.
Story,
stories and the passion and like, people,
sure.
The way that, like, it's such a. Because the reason it's interesting to me is that people have to make their way through that world by narrativizing, by creating narratives that are digestible and that people can have an appetite for.
Yeah.
And that is what wrestling is about. It's about storytelling.
Dude, and like
so
that.
That's interesting. But a lot of people, like where I'm from, like we were all under the impression that this was a fake thing.
Sure.
Right,
that was meant to dupe people. And that isn't what it is when you know what it is. But if you see it from the outside, it's like, you know, it's like watching baseball on TV.
Yeah.
You're like, why would this ever be appealing? There's a bat and a ball. And it's like when you go to the stadium,
uh-huh.
you understand the beauty of baseball.
Absolutely.
It's a wonderful thing.
It's a good example.
That's yeah.
a great example,
so. I love what you said about like creating the narrative that is like digestible because a lot of times in wrestling, you will go to a wrestling show and like the narrative that they're trying to pitch to you is just like such like hogwash that you can just see right through it. And I think that's what really separates good wrestling like storyline and like good wrestling like companies from bad ones for sure.
Storytelling business.
It's the storytelling
with
business.
Some athleticism.
With
and then on the
God.
Higher levels, you know,
with,
oh yeah,
yes.
extremely
yeah.
high level athleticism.
100%.
Yes.
If it was just athleticism, it would not be what it is because it's not an athletic competition per se.
No.
You know, it's really like who is a more convincing character, and what does that mean? And there's mystery around that.
Mm-hmm.
I think of.
Mm-hmm.
John Cena's recent appearance, you know.
Yeah.
He had the all black, you know.
Oh, and he became a bad guy. And
Yeah. Well, he just like went dark for a minute with it.
Yep.
And I thought it was really interesting because John has had this whole arc of like the worldly wrestler. He knows Chinese and he's an actor and he's a good man and all this. And so even though it was a very slight artistic tweaking to his wrestle walkout, it had like a stunning effect because it was just like, what are you doing?
Yeah,
he was just like, I guess I'm not doing anything anymore. Yeah. And it was like,
but there was like an ego to it too.
Yeah, it was like evil, and that was really fun and juicy, and like it showed a different side of his character, which is like, John Cena like hurts, you know, or something.
Yeah. he comes out to the Johnny Cash hurt.
that would be beautiful. The walkout song is so important. It's very important.
The walkout song is so important.
The walkout is so important. It's really about the walkout.
Yeah.
And then things roll from there. It's like in comedy, that's very important how you start.
Yeah. A thousand percent.
People can tell when you walk up and you're not ready, you know, or you're unhappy or you're whatever.
Yes.
But if you you put your head up and you put your hands up and you're like, go, you know, I'm going, you know, maybe with a lower tone, let's go, you know, whatever, tweak it. But
sure.
Then people are like, they'll just accept you right away, you know. But when you walk up sheepishly and you don't look at them, they're like, oh, okay, we're not looking at you.
Well, and I think it's I'm assuming in comedy, it's like a self-confidence thing. Like if you believe in yourself, then every single person in that room who's seen you for the first time can believe in you.
Yeah.
Or the 100th time or the 5,000th time, whatever it is.
Yeah. You know what I really find that, at least in this recent period of shows that I've been able to do, because I've had some tough shows too where it's like you get that thinking going and you're right, but it's mysterious because it's like really it's like no thinking is correct. It's like a nothingness. It's like I am not even a thing.
Interesting.
I am not a thing to be received or anything.
Yeah.
I am just walking out now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you're like, "Oh, and I'm excited and I'm excited to walk out." You know what I mean? Cuz I've been going through this in so many realms of my life, including the love realm. The anxiety is manifested linguistically in the mind. Like, you think your way into it.
Yeah, okay.
That's how you get it.
Yeah.
You start going, all right, I'm the fucking man.
Yeah.
How many shows I've bombed where I'm like, you're the fucking man.
Yeah, dude.
And it's like how many shows I've done in the last couple of weeks where I was like, I had so much going on in my life and in my heart, and I didn't have the capacity to even give a single rat fuck about the show. And I would go to the show and I'd be like, well, I know how to do this. But like that didn't even happen. I was just like, God, I don't even want to be here. You know, and those were some of the best performances I've done in my life because I go up there and I'm like, let's go, rat f**ks, you know?
Yeah, dude.
And it feels good.
Yeah.
I'm not scared of you.
Yeah.
I've got so much more going on in my f**king bowling alley, right? But I notice when I start moving because that's because the godhead of that was turned to something else. You know what I mean? The godhead of my anxiety was like, this is what I mean. This is so I'm going to linguistically, you know what I mean, about this thing. And so the comedy was just like, I would just walk up there and start doing comedy and, you know, and it would be easy. But the second it turns back, like when I did the contest last year, it was like the godhead was staring at the contest for 2 weeks. And so the best I could do was a rehearsed performance. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
Because it was ultimately going to stem from anxiety.
Yeah, and it was just like chipping at you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was one of the most intense experiences I've had thus far, although I think it is really diminished a lot in my mind, which is nice.
That's so crazy you bring that up, too, because from working at Helium, and like I've seen three of those competitions from start to finish.
Yeah.
Like every single person on stage, every single person on the lists, every single person that makes the next round, like all the way till they pick the end. And you see that. You see the difference in even the ones that make it through, because like their very first set is like anxious and trying to get it out of the way. And some of them do great, but a lot of them, you know, struggle in that first set. And I'm like, wow. And I always leave like, wow, that really was, that wasn't the guy I always see.
Yeah. Yeah. I get that, man.
And it's wild.
Happens to all of us.
Yeah. It's super wild. It's crazy. It's crazy stuff.
And it's funny, it goes so hand in hand too, because you were talking about how you had sets where you bombed, but you come off feeling great. I don't know how many times, you know, and Brian probably have had these too, where you walk back from the curtain after your match and you're like, man, I freaking killed it. This was awesome. And the first person you see is, you know, the vet being like, that was awful. Why did you do this? Why did you do that? Why did you do?
Uh-huh.
And you go from feeling like the world champion to about... Uh-huh. little tiny person, yeah. Like little.
Oh yeah, you can get small really fast.
Yeah.
100%.
Especially being in your gear, because you're essentially sitting in your underwear, just getting told off. Yeah. that also kind of is not fun.
Yeah.
I mean, feeling vulnerable in that moment is a wildly eye-opening experience.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, life really devises a lot of interesting ways to crack us open, doesn't it?
Yeah. Oh yeah. 100%.
How did you find comedy in life? Like where did you discover becoming a comic or wanting to become a comic?
Well, I'm the type of person who's just always been funny.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
There's always been those friends that it just happens naturally. Yeah. That's what a funny person would say.
Yeah.
I don't have a lot of skills, man.
You're gonna take the show from
you. Remember Liam Neeson's Taken? He's like, yeah. I have a very particular set of skills.
Yeah.
Well, if I was in that situation, I'd be like, I have very few skills.
It'll take me a very long time to find you.
But I have one.
But do you want to hear a really good joke?
Yeah. Girls like it when I make them laugh.
Tell us a funny joke and we'll give you back the girl, I swear.
Yeah. I've had this crazy fucking shit, man, where I do this PowerPoint show and it's kind of perverted, and done it. I do it at a bunch of festivals.
Yes.
Yeah. And I just meet the weirdest women from it. But anyway, I don't want to get into that.
Dude,
but yeah,
girls love a good PowerPoint.
Oh, they love this PowerPoint, my friend.
Provocative PowerPoints.
They're hitting me up right now about it. This chick. I don't even want to get into it.
Already, that's like, awesome.
Anyway,
that's so funny. Naturally funny guy.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Sure. So when it started, my dad's Jewish, and we come from that kind of like Borscht Belt, like Long Island. My family's from the same town as Dave Attell.
Oh, okay.
So there's some like, you know, comedy roots there, and then, you know, I had a really insane childhood, which really helped me because I was able to use deflection and my intelligence to protect myself from the obvious danger of my family. You know, like getting into the good stuff but so I got really funny really early, I was just like, oh yeah, blah, blah, you know what I mean, like but I don't even think it really comes from that. I think people are born with inherent traits, and we got to figure out what our traits are. I really wanted to be a musician for a long time. I still love playing music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was once I started doing comedy, it was like so much. It was like the easiest thing in the world.
Yeah.
It was like,
sure.
Oh, I could do this in front of 200 people. Like, no problem. Whereas music, it would be like, oh, I'm playing, you know? And it was like, but if you want me to just go up there and start talking shit, I didn't even realize that was a game until about, you know, until fucking 5 years ago. So, but I've been performing since I was like 20.
Okay.
Music. So,
and have you always has your comedy always been so I don't want to say off the wall, but like you take different approaches. Like you were just saying, you come out as Bob Ross, you come out with a PowerPoint, you come out like,
yeah, I was stepping around stand up
like non-traditional.
Did you get a lot of wild reactions from like guys hosting open mics when you brought that kind of stuff with you?
I never did comedy open mics.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I just did Butter, the comedy show with Cam. Do you remember that show?
Yes.
And we got we got two shows a month, and I got to do 10 minutes every other week. And so I wrote a new bit for about 2 years. Oh, I would have a different thing every show.
What a way to practice.
And that was what got me to do it.
Yeah.
And that's what got me to be able to do it well.
That's a hell of a way to get locked in. Yeah.
Yeah, because the open mics are really difficult. You get less than 3 minutes or less.
Yeah.
And you're just – and it's kind of like being in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Because all the other people there, all the other people at all the other mics, and there is no real audience there. And sometimes there is at the Underbar mic here. That's a really good one. Yeah. And the Helium mic is really good. And there are some other really good, like, I love the Montevilla mic. I'm not hating on them or anything, but like, right. I never was able to play that way as well. I get almost nothing out of the open mics, generally speaking, except for some attention or I do something funny, but it's like not like, oh, I just figured out the next part. You know, some people work that way.
Yes, yeah.
And that's really, really, really interesting to me. And I think that's really cool.
It's like being in like a local band and like only playing for like other local bands.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of the same cycle. Like you're always kind of just playing for like kind of each other.
Yeah.
Until like, you know, somebody finds something that they like and they want you on like a different show. And then, you know, all of a sudden you're playing in front of like, you know, 200 people or whatever, like you were saying, like, and it just becomes like so much easier too.
And you just become this naturally sexy comic.
That's really nice of you to say, man. Thank you.
He's got me sold on the sexy comic.
Yeah, and what a way to come up. You start at Butter, you have your own way of grinding, and working for Cam's not always easy because he's a wild character, man. I love Cam to death, man.
He's awesome. A true pleasure to work for.
I love Cam. And now you're winning women over with PowerPoints.
Well,
and
let's not say I'm winning them over. That would be incorrect. Let's say that the PowerPoint gets them interested.
Gets them interested, yes.
That's enough.
And then you paint for them as Bob Ross. And you have this great wide variety of comedy that you do, and you have become one of the more interesting comics in the area. Awesome. And it makes me so happy that we were able to have you on here.
Caleb, thank you. Brian, thank you so
much.
Yo,
thank
guys.
You so much.
Really
this has been great.
Yeah.
It's been so much fun.
And thanks to our producer.
Yo, yes. Thank you, Jono.
Shout out to Jono.
Our man, Jono. Dude.
And if you guys want to catch Brett, he's all over the place in Portland. Do you have anything coming up besides Martini?
Yeah, I'm doing so many.
That's a good problem to have.
What is the next closest thing you're doing, the soonest?
My show tomorrow.
Your show tomorrow.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yep. So, yep. Yeah, Martini tonight, tomorrow. Yeah. Absolutely. Guys, thank you for your time. Thank you for stepping into my world. Thank you for dealing with Brian Brooks. Yeah. He brings a whole nother energy. And thank you to Brett for all your time. You're a busy comic. And thank you guys for listening. We will catch you next time.
Adios. Thieves theme. Play me at night, they won't act right. The fiend of hip hop has got me stuck like a air pipe. The mind activation, react like I'm facing time. Like